Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the news that moves the market. And we're all kind of sitting with bated breath here, Rob, for the next week, waiting for the big piece of news here in the United States, the inauguration. And I think the markets are also sitting with bated breath. But we did get a little bit of movement here over the past week, some a little more than others. So let's take a quick glance at what we've seen the markets do. So starting out with gold. Gold's up about 1.3% since our recording last Wednesday, currently sitting just below $2,700. It's at $2,695. Silver a little bit better, up 1.8%, and sitting pretty comfortably above $30 now. You know, we're at $30.66, and we've been above $30 now for a couple weeks. So it's good to see silver getting some legs underneath it. I know last week we had a long conversation about silver, and worth going back to check if you missed our show last week. The one down arrow I'm going to give you guys this week is platinum. Platinum is down 3.3% over the last week, $934 on the platinum spot price. But in the middle of this past week, we did hit a new highest price since November. So while platinum may be on the downside, swing this particular day, earlier this week, we actually had a nice little bump up in platinum, pushing us to the highest price we've seen over the last few months. So it looks like platinum may be stair-stepping upwards. Palladium, similar. It's just palladium is on the upstep right now. Palladium up 5.2% and actually just slightly above platinum again.
And half of palladium's move is just today.
Yeah, palladium, big, big move. So it's kind of fun to see those two sort of fist fighting it out for pole position right now.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the equity market real quick, the S&P up 1.1%, 59.54 at the minute. But arguably over the last couple of weeks, it is on a bounce. That 1.1% is on a bounce. Sort of like platinum was on the downswing of an upwards movement, it looks like the S&P is on the upswing of a downward movement as it's been stair-stepping down. And then finally, the dollar is even, but we did have a two-year high in the dollar index this week as it broke above 110 at one point. So a pretty stable, stationary week outside of platinum and palladium being a little bit more volatile, but ultimately everybody seems to be following the same pattern of kind of waiting to see how things are going to play out. So how are things going to play out next week, Rob? Give us the crystal ball.
Based on a modest CPI number that came out today, I think the markets are overly optimistic. The S&P just today is up at 2%. The NASDAQ just today is up 2.5%. The Dow just today is up almost 2%. So the equities markets and the metals markets are very optimistic right now. We'll see what the first 60, 90 days of the new administration can produce. I wonder if expectations are not going to be met head on with reality, because the financial markets are fragile, to say the least. So the crystal ball is one of optimism right now, and I think that's going to continue for the next week or two, at least.
Yeah, well, and you were telling me before we started recording here, you saw the same thing, or at least the same indicator, which means the opposite thing in the bond yields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're sinking. The 10-year is down pretty significantly over the last couple of days in terms of its yield. Now, the value is higher, but the yield is lower.
Well, the yield is what you certainly care about as an investor, and still up for the year, but big, big swings down in the 2-year, the 10-year here over the last 24, 48 hours in those bond yields. So I think it's perfectly fine to just be sitting in this holding pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this a few times now. We're following a pretty consistent pattern on the longer scale than just our weekly show, in that following the election, we expected to see some downward movement in gold. We got it. We didn't get as much as we had hoped, but you never do. It never goes as high as you want, and it never goes as low as you want, Rob.
So true.
It always just does what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But we do seem to be getting into that period of time where the wedding bells have stopped ringing, so to speak. or someone else's bells, depending on your opinion of the election. But we don't have to go into political opinions right now. But the bells have stopped ringing, or at least will be here over the next couple of weeks. And now we're going to settle back into reality. And reality dictates that markets just revert back to what their trend was prior. And I think that's why you're starting to see gold slowly meander its way back up right now.
Yeah.
What does concern me, though, is the S&P starting to look a little bit toppy. I'm not quite sure, other than Trump's desire to see interest rates lowered. Obviously, he wants interest rates to go down, but he doesn't get to make that decision. So we'll see how the Fed plays ball with him. But I'm not quite sure what ends up propping that equities market back up come February, come March.
Right. Well, and if CPI continues to show a modest growth or even maybe a negative growth, I don't think anybody really trusts the Bureau of Labor Statistics when they come out with the Consumer Price Index, but that's what the markets react to. And if it's soft, if CPI remains soft, then there is hope for a rate cut.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure nobody is going to complain about a rate cut, although arguably, what does a quarter point really do to help the general public? I'm not sure, but that's probably why I don't have the job.
Well, perception is reality.
What did an old compatriot of ours, Larry, used to always say? Holding nicely. So maybe it's those little incremental movements, the holding nicely movements in the interest rate. I guess when you're talking about moving trillions of dollars around, a quarter of a percent is a lot of money.
Well, and I think the fundamentals for the metals market, especially for gold, very strong. Gold should be peaking over $3,000 in the spring. And so I think for people that are holding gold, they're going to be very happy. Silver did dip below 30 for a little while earlier this week. We're back strong above 30 and we'll continue to root for silver. And let's pray that ratio narrows to where clients can take advantage of another ratio trade this spring.
Yeah, that would definitely be the hope, whether it's an internal ratio trade, like different versions of products, like say silver bars for junk silver or silver American Eagles, where sometimes you'll see some premium play and some opportunity there. I know a number of our clients have gotten to take advantage of here over the last 6 months. Or whether it's metal to metal, like platinum and palladium, platinum and gold, gold and silver, as David likes to talk about often on our other show, the McIlvaney Weekly Commentary, the gold to Dow ratio is not a bad indicator to look at from time to time when you're bringing in things like Shiller PE index and just kind of looking at the valuation of markets as a whole. And then one I'm a big fan of, I'd like to do some more research on it sometime, is gold to square foot, because I'm a big fan of real estate. So I don't know what the gold to square foot ratio is, but I know it exists. So one of these days I'm going to take a weekend and look at that over the last 100 years.
Well, Tori, tell us your thoughts about what's coming up over the next week. What's your crystal ball seeing?
Crystal ball, huh? As we jump into the year, I love everything you just said. I like to operate on the reality. I don't like to try to predict when it comes to those premium swaps and ratio trades, right? We have kind of self-imposed standards and minimum expectations for when those moves are recommended. So we operate off the real math. When it comes to prognosticating on price, that's always a fun exercise as we go into the year. Rob, you sing my song when you talk about over $3,000 gold. I think that's the first legitimate resistance point. If we can get over this round number of 2,700 that we keep flirting with here, then Miles, I think you would agree that there's this big gap to fill up to that previous high of 2,791-ish, just under the 2,800. And then we'll kind of see, and everybody thinks, oh, that's such a big number, but it's not. When you talk about percentages, it's just a small number. Yeah,
yep, very small.
And we have said for a while, 3,000 is baked in. So if that happens in 2025, certainly that's a conservative estimate to me. In a standard year with what gold tends to average, you know, you're going to be 8.5% to 10% looking back average over the last 50 years, average.
Average.
If we do that, that's got us up another $260 on a 10%. That gets us to 3,000. So all that being said, I think that's a conservative deal. I am focused on the ratio a lot too. I think that if we get healthy GDP growth, which is questionable. I'm not
very questionable.
That,
if right? they start cutting the budget like they want to, that will affect GDP growth.
It will. So I am a little less optimistic on growth than I am inflation.
Right.
But inflation's very sticky. Both of those two combined equal higher gold prices.
Very, right? And silver, much higher silver prices, because silver needs an expansionary economy coupled with inflation. And we have not had that.
That's right. Correct. And silver has catch up to do.
A lot of
right?
catch up to do.
So I know I'm not sitting here saying exact numbers or any of that, but I do feel very, very strong about it. No, I don't expect another 20% plus return in each of the metals like we had last year, but we could certainly do that and more, because we're always one news event away from the reality and meeting those price predictions that Miles puts in the charts.
It's all Miles' fault.
It's all Miles' predictions. It's just a matter of the timing under which we accomplish those predictions.
Right.
And that's based on the news of the day. And 2025 is going to be full of some pretty amazing headlines.
Yes.
Just like it's already started.
Already started.
Well, I think the argument for expansionary economic environment, I think, is a great one, because that's going to not only cover the silver discussion, because silver, you know, being primarily industrial metal as its primary usage versus gold, which is still a hedge metal primarily. Mm-hmm. For its majority of usage worldwide. Well, whatever you say about silver, multiply that out in effect when you're talking about things like platinum and palladium, which you talk about repressed pricing that needs to play catch up. So it is kind of across the board there. Completely agree with you. Silver, I think, has that secondary factor to where it's also the thing people turn to when gold gets too expensive, mm-hmm. which platinum and palladium really don't have that additional piece. So if we have expansionary economic situation here over the next couple of years, I completely agree that silver is going to do great. On the flip side, if we don't, or if we use inflation to try to push that expansionary situation, silver's also going to do great, because what will happen is gold will get to an inflated price to where the average person says, holy smokes, gold, what? What's cheaper? Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that's 2010, where gold is $2,000 after it was just $600 and silver's still $15. And then, oops, silver's 50. So you could see a couple different situations where I think that ratio discussion, while isn't the primary motivation for me to own metals, it is the primary motivation for how I dictate the development of my portfolio through time.
Oh, Miles, I'm so glad you said that, and you are spot on. That diversification is what a lot of people don't understand. Like, they think, oh, you just have to buy, you know, 1 ounce gold American Eagles or gold bullion bars or whatever. If you set yourself up and listen to your advisor on the front end, we're going to advise you in a dynamic fashion. Like, we don't want to dead end you, where all you're doing is exposing your portfolio to the spot price move of a metal. If the spot price moves in a particular metal, it may actually be giving you the reward of a ratio change, to your point. Sometimes we can do a ratio or a premium swap in a decreased nominal environment, meaning your metal's value has actually dropped, you're picking up free ounces and you're getting a tax loss.
Yep.
So you don't worry about it as long as you've got this strategic approach to diversifying. And that can be, like you mentioned already, junk silver. It can be American Eagles on the silver side. It can be gold American Eagle proof coins. It can be semi-numismatic gold and silver coins. It can be gold and silver bullion. It can be platinum and palladium, coins versus bars. There's a huge variety out there, but that's why we don't want you flying your airplane alone. Rob, as you always say, you're the co-pilot, and lean on us for that type of advice.
You want to fly this on your own, or would you like to have a guy sitting next to you that's been in these guys for decades?
Yep. Some of us more decades than the other two.
Well, yeah, it's because realistically, I mean, everybody spends a lot of time, like us included, we're guilty of this too. We spend a lot of time talking about entry strategy. Mm-hmm. We look at charting, we look at how markets move, we look for highs and lows and pullbacks and yada yada, and it's all about building your position over time. But if your exit strategy starts and stops with the sentence, when it's more, like, that ain't good enough. To have a specific exit strategy built into your portfolio that is part of the growth discussion over time.
Right. I mean, that's where gold versus price per square foot or gold versus the Dow Jones Industrial Average comes into play, because it can be just your core holding, just your insurance, but you can also leverage that as a financial asset into distressed markets, which I think that opportunity is coming for people around the country. So we'll just have to wait and see, because if we can get to where it only takes 2 or 3 ounces of gold to equal the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we need to talk.
Yep.
Because right now I want to think that ratio is gold to the Dow is somewhere in the high to mid teens.
Yeah, the Dow to gold. If you take the Dow divided by gold, it's the high 15s, basically 16 to 1.
16 to 1 was what I was thinking.
And the bear market bottoms in equities really aren't realized until you're in the low single digits in that ratio. That's when you know either your equities are really undervalued.
Or gold is really overvalued.
Yeah. That's right. And that is a re-diversification, rebalance to Miles' point. But again, it's remaining an active portion of your portfolio. It doesn't just have to be sitting there collecting dust in the closet.
Right. It goes back to the question I had a number of years ago at a financial conference when somebody came up and said, hey, I have one question for you, Rob. People who buy gold, are they really weird? And I just laughed. I mean, you mean weird, like buy gold and get a bomb shelter weird? And he goes, yeah, pretty much like that. And I'm like, no, I mean, to the degree that people have lost faith in the system, that will dictate the percentage they allocate to metal. But it also is capital that provides you an ability to take advantage of market dynamics that will come into play. They always do. I mean, markets move up and down, ratios change. There's very few companies in the precious metal sector that actually see what we see in ways of, like Miles said earlier, an exit strategy. Okay, so you get to a certain price point you want to sell. What are you going to go into? What are you looking to do? You just going to go into cash? Well, I don't think cash is necessarily the strongest asset you can have. But if there's an opportunity to move back into equities or to add to your equity position or into investment real estate or other opportunities, it just makes more sense. You need to have a plan in mind of where you're going as opposed to just taking a profit.
So I think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio as we all sit with bated breath waiting for the inauguration. That probably isn't going to change much, but we're all going to pretend it will. In the meantime, if you'd like to talk about your financial future, you know, put some of these plans into play, not just with your precious metals positions, your wealth management positions, your real estate positions. Do you have that overarching plan, exit strategies, reentry, all the things that make a healthy portfolio what it is? Why not give one of us a call? We're always happy to talk with you about all of these things on the financial landscape. So you can reach us at McIlvaney Precious Metals. We're at 1-800-525-9556. As always, you can find more info on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week.